from the table of life. As we drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain, let us feast from the Father's supply. Amen. Do you love him this morning? He's so good to us. Got a special request that just came in for Sister Evelyn. We want to remember her brother this morning. Is it Kelly?
Perry.
I'm sorry, Perry. In Illinois?
Missouri.
I'm sorry. Brother Goomba told me all this. I'm sorry. But let's remember him. He just got taken to the hospital. It's his heart.
Or
kidneys giving him some problems. Maybe it's weighing on her heart, no doubt. But let's remember the brother this morning. God knows all things, as Brother Michael just testified to. He knows all things and knows all situations and is the answer to all our questions, as the brother just said. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we're thanking you for your grace and your mercy this morning. Lord, knowing that you're in control of all things, Satan hasn't come and slipped something in, Lord. But Lord, you've seen the end from the beginning, and you provided a way for victory. And Lord, we stand on that this morning, Lord, claiming the victory, knowing that Satan is defeated in all things, Lord. He may have a moment where he can attack the flesh, Lord, but we know he can't touch that soul this morning, Lord. And Lord, we know that soul's a part of you and has been a part of you and is forever going to be eternally a part of you, Lord. And there was no beginning or end to that, Lord. Lord, we come lifting up Sister Evelyn's brother this morning, Lord, as he's got taken to the hospital, Lord. We know that you're more than able. Nothing's too hard for you, Lord. And that so we bring these requests for you, Lord, that we just leave it in your hands, Lord, and we believe your word this morning, Lord, as you said, that we just place it at the altar. And Lord, not just place it at the altar, but Lord, we got to turn it loose. Lord, we got to let you have it. We got to let you do the work. We can't get in the way of it, Lord. We can't try to make it happen within ourselves, Lord. Lord, you know each need here this morning, Lord. We come before you this morning, Lord, as we stand here, Lord. We know that we don't have words as a man, Lord, and or unworthy, Lord, but you've seen by your grace and mercy to have us this morning, Lord. We just ask that you take control of each and every one of us this morning, Lord. May you speak in a great way, Lord, that you'll remove the nervousness, that your spirit will move freely among us, that we'll speak what you have for us, and Lord, that we'll receive it, Lord, and become one with it, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Good to see everyone. We're always nervous when we're here, but I think that's a good thing. I think if a man comes boldly here and tries to make something happen, it's going to mess up. I think the nervousness, God leaves that there just for the minister to keep him humble. And that's okay. But sure does a number on us sometimes. But that's okay. We're trusting in him. And just give us a minute. We'll get the quotes up here. I realized something, maybe, and I know each minister, no doubt, deals with this. We go into studying, we may have a thought that we believe the Lord wants us to speak on, and we go putting quotes together and beginning to follow the leading, that another thought will hit us, and then we'll want to go grab that thought and we'll put it in here, and when we're reading about that thought, we'll go grab another thought, and so you just end up with 32 pages, and so you cut it down to 12, and so I am the least among us for sure, and I stand in awe listening to these ministers that they minister with depth and with clarity and all that's all that that is, and here I am. I stumble around, and that's okay. I don't claim to be a preacher. I'm just a helper until the preacher gets ready to preach or his next time he's here. So Brother Goomba preached this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning our time to Theka Church. And so he's had a long morning. So I'm sure he was preaching in their language, and that's a good thing to do. I seen the invitation come across, and I thought about jumping in there, and then I got to thinking. I was like, well, he's not going to be speaking English, and I'm not going to be understanding him. But then I said, well, maybe you might catch something, you know. The Lord's going to speak to you. If you come with a desire to hear from the Lord, he's going to speak to you. And so, you know, when the Holy Spirit's poured out on Pentecost, all them disciples, there was all kinds of languages there, and they all spoke in their own native language, and all those other languages understood in the Bible. So, but we appreciate that. And our thought this morning, we ended up with believe his word. Started off as anointed word. It started off with two or three different things, and we're just going to kind of read here a little bit and try not to hold you too long. And you pray for us. We know that the Lord is good to us. We want to give the Lord praise that the devil tried to stop Brother Richard and Sister Edith coming this morning, and he lost. Had a fall there, and it was asked that, well, do you want to just get back up and go back in the house and maybe just listen online? You know, they said, oh no, we're not letting the devil win today. We're gonna give him a black eye. So they come on the church, and we appreciate that, and we see the testimony of them believing that God's gonna speak to them today, and then acting on that believing, knowing that we're all insufficient in the flesh. But yet he chose this veil of flesh that's here this morning to plant a seed. And so we'll get started here. And you pray for us. I'm going to try. I've never preached from a laptop. I've tried an iPad. And most of the time I'm just with paper. But this morning I'm going to try from a laptop. My personal preference is paper. I always get scared that it's going to have technology problems and something's going to happen, and then, but that's okay, you know. The good thing about the laptop here, you have all your messages, you have everything right here, and you just pick it up and go. I remember, I was talking to somebody the other day. I remember way back when, before the computers really got to go in there, that I remember Brother Don coming to church. He'd have a stack of books, and he'd have a note to have on where he wanted to go in those books, and he'd open up, and he'd go from one book to the other, and then go back and go back and forth. And these computers make it so nice, and so it's good. We thank the Lord for this. So again, our thought this morning is believe his word, and no matter what you're facing, believe his word. There's a word for it. If you're sick, you're praying for somebody, there's a word for it. There's an answer for it. If you're looking for spiritual revelation, which is the most important thing, it's right here. It's right there in the Word. All right. I want to start off in expectations, paragraph 22. Do you realize the very earth that you're sitting over tonight is nothing more than the Word of God? Do you know God made the world out of his own spoken word? If you didn't, where did he get the material? He said, let there be. And it materialized and made the world. Let there be. And there was light. Let there be. And he believed his own word. And his own word brought the earth into creation. And I thought about what a powerful statement that is, that he believed his own word. There was nobody else. God's the only creator. There was no one else that's going to create this earth. It wasn't like he had a thought of the earth in his mind and then he looked over to his neighbor or somebody that was going to make it happen and express it to them. No. His word, his thought that he had for the earth was there, and he spoke it, and it came into existence. And I think about what a meaning that is to, you know, as human beings, we don't, we can't do that, or I can't do that. To say that I'm going to always do something with all the greatest intent in my heart, that I tell someone that I'm going to do something, or I tell myself I'm working on this building out here. In a few days, I'm fixing to have surgery, and I'm going to be down an arm for several weeks. And I'm trying to wrap it up or get to a place to where I can bring in some other workers that can do the work for me, but I've got to get to that point. So in my mind, I've got a few days left, and I've told myself, I'm going to go work after working all day tomorrow and all day Tuesday. Wednesday we have church, and Thursday's a surgery. But I've told myself in my mind, I'm even going to try to do it today. After the service and after we eat, and I'm going to try to go out there and do a little bit of work to get to a place. Yet in the back of my mind, I know me, and you know me. And in the back of my mind, there's that tinge of doubt that am I really going to go do it? Am I really going to work 9 hours, drive 2 hours, or 1 hour to work, hour back to work, so almost 11 hours of my day? Am I really going to go to work and come home on Monday evening and go out there and work? I need to do it. It has to be done. It's got to get done. Yet there's that tinge of doubt. Am I really going to do it? As Michael Paul, as a human being, is he really going to do it? With all the intent, the greatest intent in my heart, to know that I got to get it done. The zeal, the desire that I've got to get it done. Or that it's got to be done. Not that it's me. People's helped. People's offered to help. I know that. But that's not the way it is with God. He didn't speak his word and then wonder. I spoke the earth into existence. I had a thought and then I spoke it. And he didn't sit back and wonder. Now I'm waiting for it. Is it going to happen? I don't know if how many millions of years or if there was even time at that point. But when he spoke, he never doubted his word. He always believed his word. And in every step of the way, as the earth came, as man came, all down through the ages, God sent his word to his people. He sent his word down and he anointed that word and he sent it to the only person or people, group of people, whichever the situation, Noah. Excuse me. He sent his word down to Noah. He said, man has failed me. They've went awry. They've went crazy. I'm going to wipe them off on the earth. And here's the judgment. And here's the only way that salvation is going to come is I'm going to come to Noah. And he didn't come to Noah's family. He came to Noah. Noah delivered the message to his family. He told Noah, you're going to build an ark. And something's going to happen that's never happened before on the face of the earth. Nobody's ever heard of this. Rain is going to come from the sky. The earth, the fountains of the deep are going to break forth. I'm going to flood the entire world and get rid of every man except Noah and his family. God sent that word to him, to the only man on the face of the earth that believed it. He was the only one that could do it. Everybody, the scientists of the world, the intellects of the world, could measure the atmosphere and see there was no water there. Had never seen anything happen like this. They've known for since Adam walked out of the garden, or even in the garden where God watered the earth with the dew from the ground, from the earth. It come up and went back down. Never rained. Something was happening that has never, something was going to happen that has never happened before. And there was only one group of people that had the ability, or had it in them, that could believe God at his word, that could take his word and begin to act on it. So Noah went 120 years. Noah, and I know I'm not telling y'all nothing I don't know, but Noah went 120 years of being picked on, being laughed at. I don't know if he was a carpenter or not at that time when God called him to build an ark, but I tell you what, he became one real fast. There wasn't big boats like that. There had never been a big boat on the face of the earth since Noah's ark. There was no need for it. Here is Noah. He's going to build this ship, this boat, this ark. We're going to call it what it is. It's an ark. And he's going to bring in all these animals. He's going to bring in whoever will listen to him. He preached for 120 years to the world. Can you imagine? 120 years of being laughed at, of being picked on. And not on top of preaching, you got to build a boat. And then when you build the boat, you got to fill it with the animals. He was the only one on the face of earth that could believe it. And that's the way it was. It's his way it's been in every age. Isaiah spoke that a virgin will conceive. That word went around the world for hundreds and hundreds of years. But there was only one sister, one lady, one person on the face of the earth that could believe that word and take it and make it manifest. That was Mary. The only one. Oh, many tried. Many thought, well, we've got a daughter. She's going to be the one. She's going to be the one that's going to, the Savior's going to come to. That one got married. Well, that took the virginity clause out. This one went. And that one went. And they all went away. But the word said, a virgin will conceive and bear a child. Not knowing man, not knowing their idea of it, not knowing exactly how it's going to happen until Mary asked. And Mary asked, how is this going to be? She wasn't asking in doubt. She didn't doubt. She wanted to know. You want to know, how is God going to manifest this revelation? So you ask, how? How, Lord? How are you going to do this work in me? You've called me to this work. You've called me to this word. I'm the only one, or we're the only, I'm not meaning me only. When I say, I'm talking about the bride, when I say I, we. We're the only ones on the face of the earth that can believe this message. Nobody else has the ability. Nobody else has that seed in them. This word in this day come, and it will bring to fruition both seeds. You say, it's going to make the false seed, make it known what it is. It's going to take the gospel seed, the true seed, the life seed, and it's going to make it known who it is. And it's the and they're the only ones that can do that. They're the only ones that can believe this word. So when we say to believe something, God and His word are the same. God and His word, they're not two. They're exact same thing. So when you say you believe the word, when you believe, not that you just say the word, but when that you believe the word, that's God. That's not this mind. That's not this flesh. That's God working in a veil of flesh. And this veil of flesh can't do that. The veil of flesh cannot produce this revelation. There's people around the world that are walking around with the message books in their hands, with the Bible in hand. They're claiming they know the message. They're claiming they know God. And yet they don't believe. When God gets ready to manifest it and the manifestation steps out, when you recognize the day you're sinless and someone professes that they're sinless, when they recognized who they are and their position in Christ and know that there's no sin to them that are called according to God's purpose, there's no sin at all. When someone believes that and when someone manifests that and there's that buffer, there's that attack, this person's the word. The one that's attacking, it's not the word. They can't understand it. They can't wrap their head around it. They can get really close, but they can't believe the word. That's my whole message. Believe His word, and it's in you to believe it. And it's not in your mind. It's not. And that's something I dealt with and do deal with many times. God speaks. And the first thing out of my mouth is, yes, Lord, I believe it. And He says, okay, let's prove it. And then He's going to begin to prove His word. Yeah. And this flesh is going to fall flat on its face every single time it tries to make it happen. God has a time when He's going to manifest that part of the word in your life. Whatever you're looking at, whatever you're dealing with, God is going to manifest it. He's already given you the promise. You have the script, if we can call it that. Brother Branham talked about the drama, the great drama that God's acting out. See, it morphs itself down through the ages to each one. Today, you're His mask. Today, this is the veil. This veil, the bride around the world, this is the veil of Christ. And this is how He's acting out. But everybody's walking around with the script. Everybody has message books. Everybody has Bibles. Everybody's claiming this. You talk about, naturally, when you talk about a play, There's the director, there's the actors, there's the stage hands, there's the builders of the stage. Everybody knows at what time this needs to come out, what this, everybody has the script. But there's going to come a time when that has to be lived out. There's going to come a time when that has to be manifested. So everybody walking around the script don't have a part in the play. Everybody that's professing to know, I know exactly what I need to do right here, right, don't have a part in the play. The only ones that has a part in the play, the only ones that are part of this great drama that God has poured out is the bride. They're the only ones that has a part. Everybody around it's feeding off of them. Everybody around them is getting blessed off of them. But God is blessing his bride, and it just trickles around. But he's after that seed. He's not after anything else. He doesn't care about anything else. He's quickened this veil of flesh around that seed. And then he begins to manifest the revelation of this day through a veil of flesh that stands sinless today, that knows her position, and she believes her position. She steps into her position. He believed his own word. And that's how you believe it today, because you are his word. You and him are one. It's not, you're not, you're just the other mask that God's using. It's not, it's God in every one of you. It's God. It's not Michael Paul and God, and Michael Paul, the flesh is dying. Yes, the flesh is being brought under subjection every day. Yes. But it's God doing that. Michael Paul can't do it. Just believe his word. And his own word brought the earth into creation. He made the world out of things which was not and does not appear. Yet he made the earth that you're sitting over tonight. He made the chair that you're sitting in tonight. He spoke his word, brought the material into earth, the word of God. He brought all this. He allowed man the knowledge and the ability to develop these things over time to service him. He didn't mean for that piano to be in a rock band playing satanic messages. He didn't make this computer for me to be everywhere on the internet looking at things I shouldn't be looking at. He didn't make this house to be a party house. He allowed man to know this knowledge, and we begin to use this, and we dedicate it right back to him. Everything we bring into us, everything we use, we rededicate it right back to him. If we do that and we keep that, he'll bless it. And when we don't, when we allow the world to come in, God's not going to lose one of his seed. And if you allow the world to come in and start taking over things, taking over your house, your computer, whatever you're using, there's correction going to come. And it's not easy. But it's because he loves you. It's because you are his word. You are his manifestation. He spoke you into the existence. He spoke me into existence. Oh, when we think of that, the little old doubts just drop away when we see who he is. Why, he held out his hand and poof, blew the moon and the stars into existence. What do you think? Who made the solar system? It made me think about the guys that just went around the moon. I didn't keep up too well with it, but apparently they're back and with all new pictures and whatever God allows out of that, that's okay. I'm more interested in his word. I know I'm a type of the moon, as the moon is a type of as a reflection of the sun. And the moon only has light because of the sun. And the bride only has light because of the sun. Amen. When we're standing there not too long ago, looking through the glass down there at Mount Palomar, I could see 120 million light years into space. Break that down into miles and see how far it would be. And beyond that, we still moons and stars and worlds. And my father spoke that into existence. And that's a powerful statement right there. Read that again. And my Father spoke those into existence. That's a man with revelation. My Father spoke all that into existence. My Father spoke all this into existence. My Father spoke all this word in this day for me. My Father. Whose is your daddy? My Father spoke all this into existence. The same one that sent his son here to die, that you might believe his word. You cannot believe his word correctly until you're born of the Spirit. That's deep and it's hard, but it's correct. You cannot believe him unless you're born of his word, of his Spirit. There's many try. I tried. It is such a blessing to be born in the message or in a message church. And I grew up, and all of y'all know me. I mean, all of y'all know me. As kids, you've watched us all grow up. Sister Edith, Sister Rhonda, Sister Evelyn, Brother Richard, Brother Don, eventually Brother Goomba come around. But I grew up and I cut my teeth on a message bench and fought with vigor with people that didn't believe the message. Argued with people that claimed to be in a message or went to a message church, and I even argued with people that were in the world that didn't have nothing to do with the message. I fought with vigor. Would argue with them. And that wasn't it. That wasn't it. It wasn't until God spoke to me and I got the new birth that then it became real. And funny thing, I've done all this arguing and then recognized my position, recognized who I was. And I kept arguing a little bit, but then God started working on me. And the arguing stopped. I began to realize that Michael Paul is not going to beat nobody into heaven. Michael Paul is not going to beat this revelation into nobody. And it doesn't matter if you can give them the black and white, the letter right here. And it can say exactly to the letter. If someone can just read it, you would think they can't argue with it. But they can. Because it will lay right there in the letter form. And they'll read over it a million times. I've done it. Read over it a million times. And then one day, I'll be reading it. Looking to God to give me something. Something that I've read a million times. And it clicked. And I was like, why have I not seen this? It's the same for everybody. It's the same for you. It's the same for those that claim to be the message. It's the same for those that don't claim. If God doesn't give it, if God doesn't open up the revelation to you, it's not going to happen. And you think, he's like, if someone just could read, they would have to say amen to this. They would have to say yes. And they can't. I've done it. I've sent it. I've sent it to them. And I was like, this is it. And they're like, that's not what he's saying. I'm like, if you can read English and know the definition of each one, that's exactly what he's saying. And they're like, that's not what he's saying. I'm like, and he's not talking to them in the first place. He's only talking to me. He's only talking to the bride. This word, he's not talking to everybody on the face of the earth. He's only talking to the seed for this day. That's all. What a blessing it is to know that you're the seed today. And that he's not going to lose it. And he's not. And like I said a while ago, you know, Satan tries to attack this brother and sister. They came on. Sister Evelyn's got a burden on her heart. She's believing. God's going to work there. Whatever his will be done. That's what we are. That's how we believe. His will be done. That's who we are. We are his will. We believe his word. And we act accordingly. What's the matter with the world today? We've got too much intellectual religion. There is such a thing as having intellectually. I don't mean to be rude. I don't mean to hurt people's feelings. But the trouble with these evangelists today, crossing the nation today, is preaching the word. Preaching the word. They say they go and have big meetings and thousands converted and go back a few weeks and they don't have, and not hardly any of them left. Why is it? They received an intellectual faith. And I thought, for how many years did I operate with an intellectual faith or intellectual understanding of this message? And I thought I was strong. Oh man, I could argue with people. I could say, and I know that's bad to talk about, but that's the way I felt. And I would tell friends both in church and out of church. I talked to people at work. I talked to people at the fire department at the time. And they just look at me like I'm the craziest thing in the world. And I'm thinking, I'm the only sane one in the world. I'm like, how can you say this? And all of that was just an intellectual conception. Just because I could argue doesn't mean you know the message. Just because you can stack quotes. Just because you can stand here and preach a beautiful message. That's not it. What proves who you are in this day is you believing his word. Because again, the seed is the only one that can believe his word. And then in that believing of the word comes the manifestation of that word. And that's all him. That's not you, that's not me, that's not a church, that's not a group, that's just all him. Now God is not known by intellectual faith. God is known by experience of the new birth. Only alone, Jesus said, except a man be born again of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The young people, I want you to listen. You have to have the new birth. The world is coming at you at a million miles an hour. And Satan is going to present to you every avenue, everything, and he's going to make it look so good. And he's not going to take you to the rock and roll. He's not going to take you to all that. Not at first. He's going to start working on you little by little. Thank you, sweetie. He's going to start working on you little by little. Well, this ain't so bad because I've seen this one. And this is what they were doing. And they go to this big message church. Or they go to this little bitty house and they meet in the living room. I've seen them do this. And it can't be that bad. So I'll do it. So that's where he starts. And it progresses. And it gets a little bit more. And you're a million miles away from the revelation. You're a million miles. To know this message, you have to have the new birth. And whatever Satan is offering you, I can promise you, because I've experienced it, Satan is selling you a lie. He's selling you death, and he makes it look beautiful. I've never in the history of man has death looked so beautiful than it does today. Never has the delusion of insanity and everything that man has thinking it's beautiful and it's absolute death. Yes. Never has it been as strong as it is today. That's because the fullness of the word is being manifested today. So Satan's going to come with everything he's got. But because you're the fullness of the word, you've got his answer. You just have to believe his word. You just have to recognize your place. Don't ignore, Brother Branham talked about that still small voice. And again, God's not going to lose one of his. And all throughout this message, he's just speaking to you. The Lord is speaking to you through the message. Now, if you don't care to hear from God, don't pick up this message. If you don't care to hear from God, don't pick up your Bible. But when you go to pick this up, I don't mean to degrade. When you go to pick up the message, when you go to pick up the Bible, understand, those were anointed words written. This is anointed words written. Understand that you're handling God in word form. Understand you just can't come to it casually and just be like, oh, I got to sit down, it's Friday night, I got to read my Bible. You're not going to get nothing out of it. Don't let Satan deceive you. I'm telling you, I've been there, and don't let him. And that's not, I said young people, that's for everybody, not young people. I don't care. If you don't know who you are this morning, if you don't know your position in this message this morning, I don't care if you're 5 or 50 or 89, find it. Because time is running out. I'm telling you, time, there's wars everywhere, and they're still talking about this mess over in Iran and wherever else it's at. You've got Russia and Ukraine. There's wars everywhere. And these leaders are running around with nuclear bombs in their pockets. Eventually, that's going to happen. And you say, well, Brother Michael, we've been hearing that all our lives. You have. Noah preached for 120 years. Did it rain? It rained. It rained like it ain't never rained before on the face of the earth. A virgin shall conceive went around the world for hundreds of years. Did a virgin conceive? I'm telling you, it's going to happen. This earth is going to be burnt over and purged, and it's going to happen. It could happen in the next 5 minutes. It could happen in the next 5 days, and it can happen in the next 500 years. I don't know. I just know that it's going to happen. That's what I know. I don't want to take a chance and wait 5 minutes and stand out there like they stood and stared at the ark. And look, God put him in the ark and he closed the door. He put him in the ark for 7 days for everybody on the face of the earth to look at that ark and laugh. I wonder if that's not happening today. We're in the ark. And people are standing there and they're looking at the ark and they're laughing. Oh, the end's not coming. There's not going to be a body change. There's not going to be a millennium. They're all laughing. It rained. And as soon as that first drop hit the forehead of the first person, oh man, I don't want to know how they felt. Because Noah didn't close that door. God closed that door. Noah couldn't open that door. I bet if Noah could, he probably would have. Because I can tell you when it started sprinkling or raining or whatever, however it started, and he started hearing people then crying. I mean, can you imagine? You're sitting in the ark and all these people, they're screaming for mercy, and now they want mercy, now they want grace, and now they... No, no, no. I gave you 120 years and a week. Actually, I didn't give you the week. I closed the door. I gave you 120 years to get into the ark. And now, my words come true. Those that believed my word, they're inside. They're safe. No harm's going to come to them. I'm going to bring them through it. Everybody that didn't believe the word was outside the ark, and they all drowned or however else they died. But you can imagine the wailing and the gnashing of teeth and all that that took place outside the ark there. That's going to happen today. That's happening. There's going to come a time when you're going to feel the earth shake. You might not see the atomic bomb that hits Washington or whatever, I don't know, wherever they decide to send them. You might not see the cloud at first, but you're going to feel the earth shake. In that very moment, you're going to either know that you're in him or you're not in him. And that's the moment. It'll be too late then. It'll be too late to run to church, to run to Brother Don, to run to Brother Goomba. Oh, pray for me, lay hands on me, I got to receive those. Nope. You had your opportunity. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to be very real with you. There was a time when I messed with the world. There's a time when I flirted with the world and I thought I was saved. I thought I was going to be good. I went to a church that everybody picked on. I went with under a pastor that everybody picked on. I thought I was the one. I thought I was safe. And I wasn't. But he let me know that I was in his mind before the foundation of the world. And that he wasn't going to lose me. And he told me who I was. And he told me my position. And he told me exactly what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to die. I'm getting ahead of my quotes here, but you're supposed to die. There's a dying to your mind. There's a dying to your thinking. You become a living sacrifice. Looking at, you say, I'm looking at something, or the other say, I don't see it. You mean you don't understand it. You're looking right at it. You look with your eyes, but you understand with your heart. That's right. You can't understand it. No man can know nothing of God until first he be born of the Spirit of God. The Bible said no man can call Jesus Christ only by the Holy Spirit, and the only thing, excuse me, only by the Holy Spirit is the only thing that you can say, well, I believe he's the Son of God. If you haven't been born again, you're taking somebody else's word for it. And that's what I did. I took somebody else's word for it for many, many years. Like I said, I went to a church. I took the pastor's word for it. I took the minister's word for it. I took the deacon's word for it. I took my mom and dad's word for it. They said it. I said it. I got to be good, right? You're just taking somebody else's word for it. That's right. The Bible's right. But what about you? The preacher said so. The preacher's right. But what about you? You're not going in on somebody else's coattail. As much as me and her are one in union, in holy matrimony, I'm not going in on her coattail, and she's not going in on my coattail. The same thing that's required of me is required of her. The same thing's required of us is required of everybody. You must be born again. You must be born again. Mother said so, mother's right, but what about you? It's a personal experience of your own that you've got to be born again or you'll never understand God. I'm probably going to jump around here a little bit. That worked good. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the same God that was in David. He's the same one that was in Moses. He was the same one in all the apostles, and he's the same one was in Jesus Christ to manifest himself there for that promised word. And he's the same God today, the same word, throwing light, that's a capital L, throwing light upon the word of the hour. God be merciful to us all. Yes, sir. Believing God to interpret himself. Every word to be vindicated. Yes, he's his own interpreter. He's his own interpreter. I'm so thankful for that because I would be one of those probably that would add someone and take someone away or add to the message and make it sound better so I can get more people. But he's going to interpret his word. And he's going to interpret his word by bringing it to pass. That's the interpretation. So until you see the manifestation, until you see it being brought to pass, you don't have the interpretation. You have the promise. You believe the word. But then when he manifests it and reveals it and it walks out of the lids of the message or the Bible and it's manifested before you, there's the interpretation of what you believed. There's the interpretation of what God intended for that word to be. His spoken word registry. But she walked over there and played the part. He's talking about Eve, the whore. Well, you say, that's flat, Brother Branham, but wait a little bit. We'll get over there a little later and see. You say it can't be. Well, we'll just find out where the word says it is or not. See, that's right. They're not. It's not hid. If it's hid, it's hid from those who are lost. Now, this brings you back to the spoken word. When then we as God's word made, excuse me. Now, this brings you back to the spoken word. Then we are God's word made manifest. We are God's Word made manifest. See, Jesus said the same thing. He that believeth on me. Now that believeth is to understand. Again, we talk about those that can just read the black and white. You would think they would understand it, but they can't. It's because it wasn't given to them to believe. But it's given to you to believe, to understand. And it's not an intellectual understanding. It's to understand, have God's understanding of what God's Word is saying. And to believe it, to that TH is not just, let's take an example. We've been talking about Noah. Who here don't believe Noah in the ark and in the flood? No. Who here don't believe that? Oh, no. Nobody. Everybody believes that. Everybody believes the Israelites walked across the Red Sea, right? Everybody believes that. God is continually moving forward. What he did in Noah's day was for Noah in his day. What he did for Moses, what he did for Elijah, for the different ones, what he did in Jesus Christ's day, all those are for those days. He that believeth, it's a continuation of the believing. It's not that he's changing his thought or changing the word. He's just unfolding more of the drama to you. He's unfolding more of the picture to you. He's giving you a deeper understanding, a deeper revelation of what his thought was for you. And it's the continuation of believing it. Not just, well, I believe the Bible. Everybody says they believe the Bible. Why? Because they don't have to stand and face most of the Bible today. There's scripture in there that we're still working on with today. But for the most part of the Bible, they're never going to have to walk out here and take the test of whether they're going to walk onto the ark or not. They're never going to have to walk out here and go to Mount Carmel and stand with Elijah and have that test today. There's no test in that. There's no testing in saying that you believe Noah and you believe these different ones in the Bible. That's another day. That's moved on. There's no reproach today. That's the word I'm thinking. There's no reproach to say, I believe Noah, I believe Moses, I believe Isaiah, I believe Malachi, I believe Peter, James, John, Saul, Paul, all of them. There's no reproach in that today. That was God in another day working on what he was working on in that day. But today is he's bringing forth the fullness. Today is where the reproach is. Today is whether it's a proving of whether you're the seed or not the seed. Today is where you're going to continue to believe God, or if you're just going to put a period on him and say, I'm good enough with Pentecost, or I'm good enough with Noah, or if I'm good enough. When you put a period and you stop believing and continuing to believe and continuing to receive the revelation, when that stops, that's where you die. That's where you die. And I mentioned Elijah there on Mount Carmel. I read something that was neat. We're talking about, or the other day was talking about the purging of the earth, the nuclear bombs, or however God chooses to do that. Most likely it's going to be the atomic bombs, everybody. But whatever that is, and Brother Goomba was talking about how it's going to burn the earth off and purify everything. But yet the devil will still be there and different ones. But it made me, I was reading that story, and you know when Elijah called the fire down. You know, he covered his sacrifice with, was it 12 barrels or 36 barrels? I forget. They brought multiple barrels. I think it was 12, and then he'd do it again. So I think it was 36 barrels of water on the sacrifice. And then he prayed, and God sent fire from the heaven. And it was such a fire that it consumed the sacrifice, consumed the stone, and the Bible says it consumed the dust. Consumed the dust. I've never built a fire. I've never seen a fire that doesn't leave dust or ashes or anything. But that fire destroyed the dust. And I was like, that's an awesome fire right there. And so it made me, when he was talking about it, made me think about it the other day. And I was like, I gotta say something. Those little things you see in the Bible, you know, you read it a million times. And it's just that consumed the dust. And I'm like, you know, I was expecting the sacrifice to be consumed. I was maybe expecting the stones to be consumed. I was even thinking about the three Hebrew children where it consumed the ones that threw them in the fire. That's how hot that fire was. But then I read, it consumed the dust. I was like, our God is a mighty God. To believe it, to he that believeth on me and the things of who I am, what I come for, and the purpose to do so to bring man back to believe the word of God and take nothing else with it. The works that I do, he'll do also. There you are. And I'll quit preaching or quit talking. Why is it not being done today? It's hybrid, bastard children, mixed up, it don't. It's a mule and it don't know what it believes. A mule doesn't know who his daddy is, who his mom is. He don't have any pedigree. There's nothing in him. He's an intellectual creature. And that's exactly right. Some man somewhere decided to take a horse and a mule and a donkey and bring them together, and that was going to be a mule. And a mule's sterile and it can't reproduce. That was an intellectual conception. Let's see what we can do, make the horse better or make the donkey better by bringing them together. God made the horse. God made the donkey. Man made the mule. And they get out of cater with God's plan. They get out of cater. They want to twist. God, like I said, God has given us the script. God has given us the word. He's given us the anointing. He's given us the seed to believe it. When we cater to something else, we mess up the whole plan. Or we don't mess up. We don't defeat God. Let me correct that. We don't mess up God. We make it harder on ourselves. You don't make it harder on God because there's nothing hard for God. There's absolutely nothing hard for God. So if you're thinking that there's something hard for God to do this morning, stop thinking that. There is nothing impossible for God. Nothing. It's not hard. There's nothing hard. But when we get out of cater with the revelation, we get out of cater with the word. To give you an example, I want to talk about this wall right here. So an architect drew the plans up for this house. He knew how much square foot the house was going to be. He knew how many bedrooms was going to be there. He knew how many bathrooms. He knew everything about this house and just how he wanted it to look. How many windows. He knew everything about it. Those plans were given to a carpenter. He began to frame the house. And as long as the carpenter stayed with the plans, talked to the architects, hey, you sure this is how you want to do it? I want to make sure I'm doing this right now. I believe you gave me the right set of plans. Is this what you want? Yep, that's what I want. All right, I'm going to do it. When that carpenter decides to change the plan and says, I just got a little bit better idea about this wall right here. Now, the architect said the wall is going to be this long, this high, the trim. That's what the architect had. But let's just say the framer, the carpenter, whoever. And so this wall, let me back up. So this wall comes here and it turns a corner. And it goes down the hallway and then has a door down here on this side of the wall. Does anybody know what this room is? Besides me and my wife? Does anybody know what that room is? It's a bedroom. So no, not many of you are familiar with my house. So this is a bedroom. Behind this wall is a bedroom. So he's framing up this wall. And he says, I don't like that door down there. You got too many doors in the hallway. I'm gonna bring the door right here. Sweetie, what happens if he puts the door right here? Sorry. If he puts the door right here, he's gonna have a problem. He said, okay, well no, let's put the door over here. He's gonna have a problem. Brother Don could probably tell me. And I'm not picking on y'all. If he puts the door right here, it's not gonna work there. And it's not gonna work right here. You know why? There's a closet right here in this corner. You put the door here, you're going to walk into the closet. The door won't even open if you put it on this wall. It ain't going to open if you put it on this wall. And if you do get it open enough to squeeze in there, you're going to be inside of a closet. You're not going to be inside of the bedroom. You went completely against what the architect had planned. The architect wants access to that bedroom down there at the other end of the wall. When we go to changing things, oh, it looks better over here. Oh, it looks better over here. You're going to walk into a closet, or you're going to walk into a wall where you're going to find that your door don't even open because it's in the way of something. That's what happens when we take God's word and we don't take it for the fullness of what he's trying to tell us. When we begin to tweak it, and I'm speaking with experience, when we try to tweak it, we try to say, oh, it's going to work so much better if I say it like this. It's going to work so much better if I just do it like this. Go ahead. You're going to run into a wall. You're going to run into a closet. You're not going to go where I'm wanting you to go. It won't work. You've defeated. You've now, and now it's not God's word no more. Now it's just your idea of God's word. God's word's still moving on. There's still going to be a framer that's going to put the door at the other end, right where he said to put it. But someone's going to be over here and they're going to be running into a closet. Don't hybrid the word. Don't change it. You say, well, I can't understand it. I can't get it. Okay, that's fine. When I started carpentry, you could lay a set of plans out with me. I had no idea what them plans meant. I knew they were the plans for the house. That's about all I knew. I didn't know how to read the measurements. I didn't know what this meant and what that meant. Brother Don did. He could lay a set of plans out. He could look at it and say, yep, this means this, this means this, this means. I had to learn that. I still don't know it like he does, obviously. But what I do know, he taught me. I had to go to the one that wrote the plans. I had to go to the one that gave the message. And I had to take his word for it and believe it and say, this is what he's saying this means. I might not yet understand why it means this, but just wait. Let's keep building the house. Let's keep working. Let's keep moving forward under the supervision of the Holy Spirit. Let's keep moving in the revelation. You're going to understand why the door's not on this wall. You're going to understand why you got to go down the hallway to get into the bedroom. But when we don't wait, we say, well, it just looks better here. You're not, it's now it's your plans. And I ain't never had a set of plans at work. Not me. If you did, let me know. And that's the way, 167. That's the way any person that claims to believe God and don't believe his word will take a denominational creed and breed it with the word. See, you're not God. You're dead. You can't be dead and alive at the same time. So even the word of God don't even grow. You're just playing a part of the hypocrite. Let that go for the bishop, priest, cardinal, whoever it might be. That's right. It's got to be the word. It's got to be the word, or you're dead. Just as illegitimate child, God's word, God's part won't grow. You might grow in the same field. That carpenter might find somebody that likes the door over here, and may prosper in selling the plans for that. Because there are some people, they talk about we're insane, and I just you hear the things at work, and you're thinking, how does this just logically make any sense? What you're saying doesn't logically work at all. And they will bang their head against the wall to make it happen. They will. I've seen even leadership at work will try an idea and they'll bang their head against the wall for a year, year and a half, trying to make something work. Until finally it won't work. And they're not going to admit that they're wrong. They're just going to say, oh, we're just reorganizing and doing something different now. No, you finally realize that this ain't working and now you got to, and you're losing money or something's not working and you got to make a change. And when you get away from the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you're in trouble. One 168, spoken word. We notice then, see, the spoken word, then we are God's word made manifest. That's how God wants his church, is to manifest himself. How can he manifest himself unless his own seed is in that person? You're not going to make a cuckabur manifest wheat. You're not going to make the wheat manifest the cuckabur. The law of God is every seed shall produce of its own kind. You're never, ever, ever going to change that law of God. Never. As much as science wants to try. I think that's one of the... There's a lot to that law, or that statement, that way of God, but it's also really simple. It's just simple. I'm not going to make the grass wheat. I'm not going to make the wheat the grass. As much weeds as I have out here in my yard, I've got grass and I've got weeds and I don't know what else I got out there. But all that's out there in the yard. And I can't just walk out there and say I've got a yard full of grass, because I don't. I got this wild weed and this, that, and the other in there. I can say I have a yard of seeds, plural, but I can't say I have a yard seed of grass. It don't work. And it's real deep and yet real simple. How can he use your own thoughts and God manifest himself through you? How can you take your own belief and say, well, my pastor teaches, my creed says that the days, how are you going to do that and then manifest and be a manifested son of God? How are you going to do it? The death of Jesus wasn't nothing to you. Oh, I accept him, my Savior. You don't. You say you do, but you don't. Your works prove what you are. Jesus said the same thing. If you think I'm an illegitimate born, they said, we're Abraham's son. We and need no one to teach us. If it said, if you was Abraham's children, you would know me. Now, every one of them priests could trace their natural lineage all the way back to Abraham. They had the records. They kept the records. They kept the records just so they could say, we're the seed of Abraham. That's no other reason why they would need the records. Just so they could say that the seed of Abraham. But God, the faith seed of Abraham was the royal seed of Abraham, which was Jesus Christ. Yes, Isaac come on the scene. That was a promise. Yes. Multiply his seed. But the faith seed of Abraham was Jesus Christ. See those priests, those religions of the world then? They weren't that royal seed of Abraham. They were the natural seed. But they wasn't that royal seed. And that's why they didn't recognize Jesus when he walked on the face of the earth. They wasn't the faith seed of Abraham. Which one of you condemns me of sin? Unbelief. Show me one thing that God promised of me that ain't fulfilled, huh? Show me one thing that God promised that I haven't fulfilled. Sin is unbelief. Let's see you produce it then. I tried. I tried to produce belief in the word. I tried to produce the word. I took what one man said the word was meaning, the idea, everything about it, and then I'm going to go make it happen. No. If God ain't making it happen, it's not happening. Something's happening, but it ain't according to what God had planned. Let's move down to 173. Who is this illegitimate born then? They were illegitimate children professing to be God. Jesus said, you are of your father the devil and the works you do. What kind of works did the devil do? Tried to hybrid the word of God through Eve. That's exactly the same thing as being done in these big denominations do today. The works of the devil, their father, they'll do. They are trying to take a creed and breed it into God's word. That's Satan done in the beginning. The father, the devil, God bless you, brother, come out of it. Jesus said, Jesus said so. You got a little scratch of God in you. You ought to look and see that. Hybrid, oh my. The works that Jesus did. If a man has the seed of God in him, with the Spirit of God watering the seed, the same works that Jesus was manifested in Jesus, him being the original seed of God, his death brings you back to the original seed of God, And if the same spirit that was in him is in you, then the same works will be manifested. You say, I'm going to raise the dead, heal the lame, heal the blind. I don't know. But I know that Jesus said, I do nothing but what the Father shows me. And that's what you're going to do. That will be what you do. You may never heal a person, or not that you heal. God's the only healer. You may not never be the vessel that God uses to touch someone to heal them. I don't know. Can he do it? Absolutely. He can absolutely speak to any one of you, send you somewhere, call a dead man out, if that's what God's word says to do. But he's not going to do it just because you feel like you want to do something and go out there and prove, oh, I'm going to prove that I'm a child of God because now I'm going to lay hands on someone and get healed. That's not proving that you're a child of God. You may go do that, and that person may be healed. Absolutely. Look at all of those preachers and ministers around the prophet, the healing campaigns that went around the world that spurred off of the prophet's ministry. Great healings. Truckloads of beds and crutches and braces and everything being hauled out of these big meetings of great men that said they believed the message. And yet say behind his back, don't accept his doctrine. Get him here, let's get the loaves and the fishes, but don't accept his doctrine. Don't do this, don't. They don't know what they're doing. They're going to know one day. Or if they maybe they know now. I don't know. I know that there are some today that are still well. 176. Don't believe that, all right? Let's turn over to St. John 14:12. You say I'm a believer, Brother Branham? I sure am a believer, all right? I'm going to see if Jesus would call you one. See if the Word of God called you one. Verily, verily, absolutely, absolutely, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. The greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. What is it? It's the same seed. The same seed. It's not a different seed. All that was in Jesus Christ is poured out into the bride. The exact same seed, the exact same word that spoke Jesus into the womb of Mary, spoke the word into this day, into the womb of the bride. Into these veils of flesh, they're just tabernacles that God is using for a time. They're going to go to the dust. They're going to be purified. And whatever God decides to pull from the dust of that body, that'll be on him. I know the prophet said one time that new body is going to look like you look like about 18, 19, 20 years old, somewhere in there. So somehow there's going to be some resemblance here of what that is. Sure, I'm glad he's not picking at what I look like at 45. Oh, man. Same seed. There stood the priest, 180. There stood the priest. This man's Beelzebub. See, no representation. It's talking about the woman at the well there. Eternal life, you always was. See, you have eternal life. There's only one form of it. That's God. You are his attribute, his thought of you, and knowed you before the foundation of the world in his mind. And he believed his word. He believed his word. He believed his word when he created the earth. He believed his word when he created trees and nature. And he believed his word when he created the bride today. He believed his word. And you believed his word because you're him. You believed the word. Oh, she looked around. Well, what a sinful shape she was in. But you see, he couldn't get the priest because the priest was an educated scholar, a theologian in the word. But no representation in heaven, see? Wasn't in God's thinking at all. But this woman said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. That's just all he wanted her to see. Said, we believe that you are. I believe you're a prophet. Now we know, we don't understand about the prophets now. We don't understand about the prophets now because it's real late. We know that there's a Messiah coming. And when the Messiah comes, he's going to be the Word, see? He's going to know the secrets of the heart. He's going to do the same thing that you did there. Said, you must be one of his prophets to forerun his coming, forerun him or something. He said, I'm he. And she believed his word. She believed it. Why? Because she had representation of back before the foundation of the world, when God seen that woman in his mind, and God believed his word. She believed his word. It's all God. I'm coming down to a close here. Give me. What could he do? He was proving his word, proving his position, proving what he was. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. God is the word. All right. He calmed the winds and the waves to prove Isaiah's prophecy. He shall be called the mighty God, the everlasting Father. See. He also multiplied the bread and the fishes, this virgin-born son. What was it? To prove the word. All the scriptures has to be fulfilled. He proved the word. By saying he was Jehovah made manifest, he was the beginning of creation of God. God and creation. God with a little part of the creation here, that God was living in himself. He was the beginning of the creation of God, for from him begets many sons. Note, he also multiplied the fishes. He is the word and the proof of the word. He is the word and the proof of the word. You are the word and the proof of the word. The proof. Oh my. Like I said, I had 12 pages and I'm nowhere near. Identifications, paragraph 61. Jumping down a little bit. Identifications, paragraph 61. Now, this reflecting his love, noble character, God reflected in a man called Christ. He was only one that could do this. There was no other character in heaven that could do this. See, he was the sinless nature. He was the Word, sinless nature of God. He was the Word express, which the Word was at the beginning. And if you're in the Lamb's Book of Life, you was God's expression from his thought. He seen you, seen your desire before there was even an atom or anything else. You are in his thoughts. And you are his thought, made word and expressed in what you are now. That's God in you reflecting Christ today. Do you know what I mean? I know we do. Give me just a second. There's one more. There's a identifications, paragraph 66. 66. A token is what you use to ride on a bus or an airplane. Your ticket is the token. Take your token. You're redeemed. Those are two statements. Those are statements together, but take your token. You're redeemed. You are redeemed. The blessing, the Holy Spirit. And if Satan tries pushing something on you, just show this. Show what? Show the token. Show that you're redeemed. Show that the life of God is living in you. That you're the manifestation of the Word. That you believe his Word. Show him. Amen. You're identified in the resurrection of Christ. You're identified in his death. When you died, you identified in his resurrection. And by that, it identifies you. That you were in him before the foundation of the world because you are redeemed. And that's brought back. All that the Father has given me will come to me. No man can come unless he, the Father, has given it. See, in the beginning. Here's the last quote. Paragraph 115. And I know I'm only on page 8 and 12, but just go and read the rest of them and the ones I skipped. And paragraph 115. Trouble set in. They forgot that the very one that they were talking about, the very Creator, was in the boat with them. He's talking about when they crossed over the sea there, and the 10,000 angels of hell swore they was going to drown him. And that boat was going crazy, and Jesus went in to take a nap. You kind of think, well, I won't. He knew all things. And he says it here in a minute. I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to say it. He knew all things. He knew exactly what was going to happen when they got out in the middle of that sea. He knew exactly when they got away from seeing the shoreline. If you know, I'm just dramatizing it a little bit maybe. They couldn't see the shoreline no more. They didn't see no other ships. They didn't see the sun. They just see clouds and storms and lightning and waves. And he knew exactly all that was going to happen. Well, remember, we still have him. When the waves are blowing, rolling, the winds are blowing, the lightning's cracking, thunder's roaring, we still have him. We still have him. And we still believe him. Well, remember, we still have him because he is the Word. Always, John 1:1, as we spoke last night, he was the Word and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We still have his Word that directs us to his thoughts and doesn't direct us to Michael Paul's thoughts. It doesn't direct us to a church's thoughts. It doesn't direct us to a denominational thought. It directs us to his thoughts. It directs us to his thoughts and his doing for this day. For this day. I didn't put that this in there. That was the prophet. Here we are talking about something in the days past. He's bringing it home for us. You see, not the thoughts Moses had in his day, not the thoughts of the disciples, not the thoughts of Luther or Wesley or Pentecost or any of those. We have the Bible here that tells us of what's going to happen now. We see the Pentecostal revival in the Bible, the Lutherans and all those churches, we saw them. We also have the scripture telling us of what's going to be now. So all those happenings must have not been now. He's placing them. That's God. God interpreting his own word. For this age that we're living in, he's his own interpreter, and yet we get frustrated. Don't get frustrated. And that was just for me. That was just for me for the past few days. That's just for that statement. If it don't match nobody else here this morning, don't get frustrated. He's going to direct you to his thoughts for this day. That's just for me. If that don't touch nobody else, that's for me. So I appreciate y'all listening. So that was for me. And I guess I must have skipped this quote, but he's talking about he takes them out there and he's going to test their faith. He knows exactly what's going to happen on that boat. And he's testing them. The storms are going to rage. And that's okay. The storms, don't get frustrated. The storms are coming. The battles are going to get hard. It's going to seem to your mind, through this flesh, it's going to seem like there's no way of defeating it. There's no way of overcoming it. You got to go figure out something else to overcome it. And that's me. That's where I live sometimes. I think if I can't make something happen, I've got to go find something else that can go make it happen. And I'm talking about naturally, if I run into an issue in my life or whatever, financial, whatever it is, and I can't make it work, my problem is I can't leave it alone. I got to go find something else that's going to try to make it work. And 10 times out of 10, it makes that situation worse. When all I had to do was don't get frustrated. Don't get frustrated. He's got it. He's in the boat with you. And he's not asleep. I can tell you he's not asleep. He's right there with you. And you believe his word. Now, he took you out there to test your faith because he believed his word. He knows exactly who you are. And he's letting you know who you are. Sometimes it comes easy. Sometimes it comes hard. But just know, he believed his word. You believed his word. And you are all one. It's all the same. It's not like you're a separate entity or somewhere out there. You are his word. He believed you. You believed him. Amen. Let's all stand. Trust you got something out of it. Brother Guba, if you'll come around and dismiss us. And bless you, brother. Bless you, brother.
That was great. That was good. But it's very hard. It's very hard for Michael when he's sleeping there. I don't know. And it's so bad. We are dying. It's so bad. It's so hard. We are dying. And he's still sleeping there. But you see, he still knows.
Amen.
If he does it, he's not God.
That's right.
There's no need of even worshiping. There's no need of going to him.
Yep.
He's not God. But he's going to sleep.
Amen.
You're going to see him sleeping there. You know, and it's hard, brothers. It's hard, brothers. But he calls upon us to take him at his word.
Amen.
To trust him. To believe him. Yes. To go with him. To trust that he knows the best for us.
Right.
He does. He knows the best for us. Another part that is very touching is you never get it. You never get it if you don't have the Holy Ghost. The only way you can have the Holy Ghost is to take what... it was good, Brother Michael. It was so good, Brother Michael. Most of the time, Brother Michael says that he would actually, if he was left, he would actually try to make it better so that he can have some more people in the church or something. That's human. That's human.
Yes.
But if you just leave it alone, God will take care of things.
Amen.
Now, if it comes to a place where you don't know what it is, just look at it. God will take care of it. God will reveal it. God will make it. God will open it. Now, another thing about that is, I heard this a long time ago, but I heard Daddy saying about it, putting it on the groups, that full obedient
yes.
to the word and pay toss you to the token.
Yes.
Very good. But now you cannot understand it until you have the Holy Ghost. But when you look at it, you don't understand this. Just believe it.
Right.
Believing his word, just believe it.
Amen.
God will come around, he'll give you the Holy Ghost, he'll give you the token, he'll make you understand the whole thing.
That's right.
He'll make you understand it. Just take it the way it is. Don't try to make it better. Don't try to make it better, look better, look, it's not, it's in the one has the power to take care of itself. You don't need to take care of itself. It can take care of itself.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Michael. God bless you. God spoke to us this morning, and mm-hmm. we are so thankful for that. I'd like to pray. And sister, only believe. God has, the sister yeah. came and told me something, and I told Michael. Michael was the one who was coming here, and I wanted him to remember that. And just trust in him. He's not sleeping. You might think he's asleep. He's not.
Yeah.
He knows it. That's right. Thank you, Father, for speaking. May it be something, Lord God, that is going to stick. That is going to be something in our lives, Lord God. We know you are the only one, Father, who can quicken that. And easily, Lord, is the truth, Father. You are here. And that is true. We get frustrated. We don't know what to do, Father. Everything is coming and it's so strong and things like that, Lord. Sometimes you don't even know what to do, Father. But Lord God, your words are still true, that you are the nearest help in times of need. Those times that we are frustrated, we don't know what to do, you are still there, and you are the nearest help that you can have, Lord. Lord, we bring that matter again. And all those things that we've talked to you about, we know you've heard our prayers, Lord. And we understand, Father, that you're not deaf, Lord. And you invited us to come and talk to you. And when it gets rough and we don't know what to do, we come talk to you, Lord. And you're always there, Father. You are the nearest help that we need, Lord. There's these people that Michael has in his mind, Lord. His neighbor's Father. And he's your son, Lord. And Father, he's there, and he has a burden for them, Lord. We come together with him to you, Father, to talk to you about them, Lord, and we pray that you stretch your heart upon them, Lord God. And about everything, Lord, we want those hearts, Father, to open up, Lord God, and see what is happening in this hour and be saved, Lord. And Lord, there's this brother of Sister Evelyn, Lord, we commit him to you, Father. We commit that matter before you, Lord. We remember him, Father, before you. Michael is going, Lord, and he's not even talking about it very much, and he's going for this surgery, Lord. And we know, Father, it's only you who can take care of things. We want to remember him, Father, on your hands, Lord, that you take care of him, Father. He's our brother, we love him. We pray for him, and Father, we pray that you take care of him, take care of the surgery, Lord God, and be there, Father, as the doctors do whatever they are supposed to do. We commit that to that matter to you. We commit every brother here, every sister, Father, on your heart, and the needs, Father, that are there. Father, we know, Lord God, that you've heard us. We talked about Sharon this morning. Lord, we know, Father, that you are here, and you're taking care of us. We are not asleep, Lord. You know it, Father, and you know us, Father. You know what's in our heart even before we speak to you, Lord. We trust in you. We believe you, Lord God, as you've told us this morning, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Yeah.